A worldwide sect that runs yoga and meditation classes at a secluded Los Altos Hills house is under investigation by the FBI because it is suspected of engaging in terrorist activities. Publicly, the sect, the Ananda Marga Yoga Society, blends Eastern spiritualism with a wide array of social programs. It operates medical clinics, nursery schools, and food programs for the poor in more than 120 countries, including two sites in Santa Clara County. But there is a darker side to Ananda Marga. Throughout the world, the cult has been connected to violence and bloodshed. The sect's guru, Prabhat Ranjan Sarkar, last name spelled S-A-R-K-A-R, spent 7 years in an Indian jail on charges of murdering six defectors. The conviction was reversed on appeal in 1978. In the interim, seven followers burned themselves to death to protest the guru's prison sentence. Other cultists went on a spree of terrorism aimed at freeing their leader, according to CIA and FBI documents. Among the attacks, an Indian embassy attaché was stabbed in Washington, D.C. An Air India employee was assaulted with a knife in Los Angeles. A brick and a firebomb were thrown through the window of the Air India office in New York City. A police officer and two garbage collectors were killed when the Hilton Hotel in Sydney, Australia was bombed during a meeting of 12 Commonwealth ministers. Two cultists each were sentenced to 16 years in prison for conspiring to murder Australian right-wing extremist Robert Cameron. Two American cultists were convicted of the attempted murder of an Indian diplomat in the Philippines, one who co-founded the Los Altos Hills Center. One who co-founded the Los Altos Hills Center recently won an acquittal on appeal. A policeman was seriously injured when a bomb exploded in the Air India offices in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The Indian High Commission office in Canberra, Australia, suffered more than $250,000 in damage from an arson fire. Diplomats and Air India employees in Australia and England were stabbed. In an unrelated 1981 incident, police in Europe are seeking a veteran cult member who allegedly lured a former Ananda Marga monk to Sweden and killed him. Dadaji Dhanashananda, a spokesman for the group's national headquarters in Denver, acknowledged that some terrorist acts attributed to the cult, quote, may have been committed by misguided youth who have no faith in Ananda Marga ideology. But Ananda Marga is an organization directed to service to humanity and raising the spiritual consciousness of everyone, unquote. The current FBI investigation is based in part on reports that Ananda Marga is planning more terrorist activities, according to an agency source who requested anonymity. Quote, "We have investigated them in the past for isolated incidents," the FBI source said. "We did not investigate them as an organization until recently." Last October, Indian intelligence agencies notified the FBI that Ananda Marga members were planning to cross the California-Mexico border and assassinate Prime Minister Indira Gandhi during the Cancun summit. And during Pope John Paul II's visit to the Philippines last year, police instituted extreme security measures after Ananda Marga reportedly threatened the Pope's life.
Interrupting the narrative here very briefly, of course, we've seen since that Indira Gandhi was indeed assassinated, albeit in India, and immediately afterward, Indian security officials revealed that there was an international plot behind the assassination of Indira Gandhi. We as yet have not heard any direct attribution as to who may have been behind that plot, but at least a clue has to be regarded as at least a clue comes from where the suspects are being sought. London, Norway, West Germany, and Canada, all of whom are Western nations, specifically NATO countries. And it's also worth noting that Ananda Marga was connected with threats against the life of the Pope when he visited the Philippines. Well, of course, we've dealt at extreme length with the shooting of Pope John Paul II in May of 1981 on this program, and we have connected that with far-right and specifically Nazi elements, and Nazi elements connected to various Western intelligence agencies, including American. So, interesting that we see Ananda Marga connected with threats against the life of the now deceased Indira Gandhi, and also against the life of the so far still living Pope John Paul II.
The U.S. government also has received unconfirmed reports that Ananda Marga, whose membership in the United States has been estimated at 5,000 to 20,000, runs terrorist training camps in California and New York. The State Department has identified similar operations in India. A sect spokesman said the reports are, quote, totally bogus. Yet the FBI considers Ananda Marga to have a high potential for violence. Like other sects, it is based on a strict dogma. Its particular dogma advocates a, quote, one-world government, headed by the cult's leaders. The guru, known to his followers as Baba, or Father, predicts that this plan will succeed and that the cult will rule the world by the year 2005. Quote, they foresee the bringing in of that age through violence, said David Fetcho, an ex-cultist. Quote, it's kind of taken for granted that will happen, unquote. As a preventative measure, the State Department has banned Sarkar, the guru, from entering this country. Quote, our concern is that his presence here might lead to acts of violence, said an Indian Affairs analyst in the department who requested anonymity. No acts of terrorism have been linked to the tax-exempt Los Altos Hills Center, where about 900 disciples have been trained in the group's political and religious beliefs. In fact, Ananda Marga denies any role in the violence attributed to the organization. Rather, spokesmen stress its social welfare programs and the letters of commendation the organization has earned around the world. Quote, I know several Margis, and they are fine, committed people, the State Department official said. Sect spokesmen blame communists for spreading, quote, inaccurate and purposefully misleading statements about the organization. These two groups have a history of antagonism in India. Ananda Marga also blames communists for the April 30th daylight massacre of 17 of its nuns and monks in downtown Calcutta. The victims were stoned and stabbed to death and then piled in a heap and burned.
Continuing in a section of the article by Bernard Bauer entitled Disagreement with Communists. Indian police say that the massacre was caused by rumors that Ananda Marga was stealing children. The sect claims that it was an organized attack by the Communist Party. Whether to protect itself or, as its critics claim, to foster its own violence, the cult maintains a security branch known as VSS. That's V as in Victor. The VSS is the main, quote, violence-prone wing of Ananda Marga, unquote, and is responsible for a series of terrorist acts around the world in 1977 and 78, according to declassified CIA documents. At VSS camps in India, cultists are trained in the use of martial weapons, including knives and nunchukas, martial arts weapons, the U.S. State Department said. There are unconfirmed reports of VSS camps in California and New York, a department official said, quote, but I haven't seen any hard evidence of that, unquote. Jim Venezia, V-E-N-E-Z-I-A, treasurer secretary of the VSS National Office in Los Angeles, said all charges of terrorism are, quote, totally bogus, unquote. Venezia said the 70 VSS members in the United States act as a security force to keep order, unquote, during political demonstrations by Ananda Marga members. We don't carry arms, he said. We don't train people in any organized way, but we encourage that people should be prepared to defend themselves, unquote. Like their counterparts overseas, VSS members in the United States wear uniforms of gray shirts with epaulettes, khaki pants, and Australian bush hats, Venezia said. Many U.S. followers seem to be unaware of the charges of evil that critics say permeates the inner sanctum of the cult. It's kind of a schizophrenic group, said Josh Barron, B-A-R-A-N, who runs Sorting It Out, a counseling service in Berkeley for dropouts from cults. There are people that have been involved for years who don't know about that side of things at all, unquote. A former U.S. government official whose son belongs to the sect said that its good deeds are merely a cover for less noble purposes. Quote, despite its idealistic face in the United States, it's basically an organization dedicated to the overthrow of the basic institutions of the United States and the free world, unquote, he said. Like other sources, the former official who has studied Ananda Marga for years declined to be identified because he feared retaliation. Note the reticence to be identified on the part of Ananda Marga's critics here. That is worth taking note of here for our purposes, okay? Again, quoting that State Department official, quoting another former Margi. They, quote, they want to bring about a worldwide transformation of society headed under Ananda Marga principles, said Rabbi Yehuda Fine of New York City, an ex-member. They have the answer, unquote. They are fanatics, another former cultist said. They will do anything, totally unpredictable. They will kill, and they will die, unquote. At the center of the maelstrom of controversy that swirls around Ananda Marga is the cult's 61-year-old guru, a former railway clerk whose Sanskrit name, Anandamurti, means embodiment of bliss, unquote. Sarkar spent part of his early manhood living with Subhas Chandra Bose, a radical Indian nationalist who recruited 90,000 soldiers to fight with Hitler and the Japanese against the Allies. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. Sarkar, now recall, this is Sarkar, who's the head of the and the founder of Ananda Marga. Sarkar spent part of his early manhood living with Subhas Chandra Bose, a radical Indian nationalist who recruited 90,000 soldiers to fight with Hitler and the Japanese against the Allies. In 1955, Sarkar founded his sect, blending yoga, meditation, and political dogma. The cult was exported to the United States in 1969, in an era when Indian gurus and religions were finding fertile ground among young people in search of alternative lifestyles. Today, there are branches in 38 cities. Precise membership figures are difficult to obtain. Ananda Marga claims 3 million members worldwide, with 20,000 in the United States. The State Department estimates there are only 400,000 members worldwide, with 5,000 in the United States. We tended to be hippies who were leaving drugs and going into meditation, unquote, said former member Karen Weisglass, a computer programmer at the University of California at Berkeley, who was among the first devotees in the country. We had a mantra we were supposed to say every morning to the light bulb in the bathroom, unquote. During the early 1970s, Ananda Marga signed up thousands of members in the United States. In India, however, crisis struck the organization. Rumors were circulating that Sarkar was ordering the executions of disloyal priests. Sarkar's wife, Uma, UMA, left her husband in October of 1971, saying it was, quote, impossible for me to be a silent spectator of inhuman, brutal, and senseless happenings, unquote. 2 months later, Sarkar was arrested and charged with murder. I landed in India the day he was arrested, unquote, recalled a former member who was sent to the subcontinent to study with Sarkar. A friend of mine met me at the airport and took me to Delhi, where a group of ex-teachers had gathered. One guy said that he personally trained people to kill, the ex-member said. He said there was a murder committee. I left the cult and never looked back, unquote. Sarkar's followers said that the murder charges were trumped up and that the guru was a victim of political persecution. They staged rallies in the United States and overseas and bought newspaper advertisements protesting Sarkar's innocence. After his acquittal on appeal in 1978, Sarkar embarked on a world tour of Ananda Marga centers. In 1979, defying the State Department ban, he tried to visit the Los Altos Hills Center. He was detained at the San Francisco International Airport and sent away, leaving behind hundreds of angry disciples who charged that their freedom of religion had been violated. Sarkar teaches his followers that the world is in a state of moral and political decay. Both capitalism and communism have failed miserably to meet the material and spiritual needs of mankind, he says. Hope lies only in a massive intellectual revolution, unquote, led by Ananda Marga. If that fails, however, a physical revolution, unquote, is inevitable. No problem of this world can be solved by means of the principle of nonviolence, unquote, Sarkar has written. Let me read that sentence again. This will be useful when we play a tape of some Ananda Marga people responding to this article on One Step Beyond. No problem of the world can be solved by means of the principle of nonviolence, Sarkar has written. One of the texts sold at the Los Altos Hills Center stresses that point. Any act of violent retaliation against tyranny and oppression is justified, unquote, one book says. Nityashudhanand Avaduta, the saffron-robed Indian monk who runs the Los Altos Hills Center, says that violence is not advocated at the six-week sessions he runs. He stresses the humanitarian side of the organization, which runs a food program for indigents in San Jose, and the Ananda Marga School for preschoolers situated near the center. The monk says that the guru's teachings have been misinterpreted. I would interrupt, recall that Jim Jones's People's Temple also had a great many humanitarian and charitable organizations stemming out from it, which served, among other things, to recruit people to the People's Temple. Continuing, the monk says that the guru's teachings have been misinterpreted. We don't support violence, he said, but when the capitalists exploit, naturally the patience of the people is gone. When the resentment becomes more and more, a chaotic situation comes, and that brings violence. As in other cults, life in Ananda Marga is highly regimented. Hours are spent each day in intense meditation. Followers consider the life unifying. Critics call it brainwashing. At its most intense levels, you become just basically lost, washed over with a very psychically pleasurable feeling, ex-disciple Fecho said. Rabbi Fine agrees. There is no doubt that I was in an altered, hypnotized state, he said. The techniques they teach are powerful, mind-altering techniques. Fine says he is now sure he was brainwashed. Otherwise, he said, he could not have belonged to a cult whose symbol includes a swastika, which spokesmen say stands for victory. Even though that has nothing to do with Hitler, the fact that I could sit down and put my hands on that swastika and swear an oath, Fine said. He called Ananda Marga, quote, a mass movement that included one extra item, a hypnotic, spiritual philosophy on top of it all. It scared me as a Jew when I thought of Nazi Germany. Before Niptuck reads you another article that appeared on the same page, a couple of points here we might go back to. Take note of the fact that this organization is apparently, according to certain ex-members, very much involved with mind control. And take note of the organization's symbol, okay? Its symbol consists of a six-pointed star, the Mogen David, the Jewish star, okay, the Star of David. It also has the rising sun, okay? Remember what Japan, Imperial Japan's symbol was, of course, the rising sun. It also has a swastika. Now, the swastika is an ancient occult symbol which appears in Indian religion, among other places. Also, American Indians have the swastika. It's worth noting that the Ananda Marga swastika is the Nazi swastika. It turns the opposite direction from the traditional occult symbol, which is sort of a symbol of the life cycle and of the universe. This, the Ananda Marga swastika is the Nazi swastika, which refers to essentially the imposition of man's will upon the natural cycle. So it is not the traditional occult symbol. It is, in fact, the Nazi swastika. And recall that is merged with not only the Jewish star, but also the rising sun of Japan. Recall the founder of this group, Mr. Sarkar, spent part of his early manhood with Subhas Chandra Bose. Now, he was the Japanese intelligence agent, the protege of elements of the patriotic societies, who we looked at earlier. And this particular, when a friend of mine contacted Bernard Bauer, the author of this article, the information about Subhas Chandra Bose recruiting 90,000 troops to fight with Hitler and the Japanese came from the Encyclopedia Britannica. We're going to talk about Subhas Chandra Bose here in a minute. But recall the terrorism and recall the fear of retaliation on behalf of certain critics of the Ananda Marga.
Okay, again, another article from that self-same San Jose Mercury of August 15, 1982. This is also by Bernard Bauer, staff writer. It's headlined, Cult Guru Inspires Devotion and Seven Supreme Sacrifices. The subheading, a secret leader's murder conviction was overturned, but his conduct has drawn scrutiny, accusations. To his devout followers, Prabhat Ranjan Sarkar is a god. Quote, I was searching for my guru for years. In Ananda Marga, I do not have to search anymore, said a 28-year-old Trinidad man who trained recently at the Los Altos Hills Center. It is a miracle. Unquote. To others, the guru of Ananda Marga is Satan. Nawal Kishore, K-I-S-H-O-R-E, a former high-ranking monk, wrote in 1975 that Sarkar is, quote, a perverted megalomaniac, whose, quote, murder squads tied disloyal members to trees and stabbed them to death. Quote, it is a fact that, under the guise of spiritual practices, Sarkar and his associates have been indulging in quite heinous crimes, unquote, says a declassified but heavily censored 1980 CIA document. Cult critics say that Sarkar runs his organization as a merciless autocracy and inspires unthinking loyalty in his followers. He was arrested in 1971 after Indian law enforcement agencies uncovered an alleged plot to murder 18 defectors. Sarkar and several followers were charged with six murders, as well as kidnapping and weapons possession. From the outset, his followers mounted a long campaign aimed at winning the guru's release. Seven disciples eventually burned themselves to death in protest. One self-immolation occurred in the United States, with others in Europe, India, and the Philippines, according to a sect manifesto. Quote, it was seen as a great sacrifice, said ex-member Rabbi Yehuda Fine of New York City. These people were doing the ultimate sacrifice. That's what you were told. Bizarre claims about the sect persisted through the 1970s. Quote, it became a frequent practice for the Anandamurti, Sarkar, sitting on a chair with a rod in his hand to chastise errant monks, all of them stripped naked, ex-member Kishore wrote. He used to cane them one by one mercilessly. The Margis were dismayed to find that while some of them got punishments, others continued to enjoy his confidence, particularly those who had brought young boys for the perverted satisfaction of Anandamurti, unquote. A spokesman for Ananda Marga's national office in Denver called the allegations about Sarkar's behavior, quote, a complete sham. I doubt you would find 1% of truth in them, unquote. In 1976, Sarkar and four co-defendants were found guilty of murder and conspiracy to murder and sentenced to life in prison. The conviction was overturned on appeal 2 years later when a higher court ruled that the testimony of the prosecution's main witness had not been sufficiently corroborated. Still, parents of current members say they are terrified by what seems to be a blind allegiance to the guru. Quote, I don't think anyone would have the drive on their own to go out and burn themselves, one father said. There's some kind of mind control that makes them act as automatons. Okay, so again, the distinction being made here was these are allegations about the cult itself. Now, the Los Altos Hills branch has come under no accusations, and that was stress was made several times in the course of the article, but that the allegations about Subhash Chandra Bose's follower, Sarkar, are many and various and fairly unsavory. But, of course, it's the political content as well as just simply the ideological content that we want to talk about, and that's what we're going to be concentrating on next.
Now, it's worth noting here that what we have are people who are ostensibly the representatives and inheritors of a transcendental religious tradition who seem remarkably preoccupied with the here and now. Involvement in partisan politics, such as anti-communism, is not traditional with the practitioners of transcendental religion, of which yoga and other similar meditative disciplines they would fall into that category. Okay, and yet the Margis seem curiously preoccupied with the here and now, altogether rooted in the temporal reign, which seems a little unusual for people of their ongoing religious tradition. Now, recall that Sarkar spent portions of his young manhood with Subhash Chandra Bose, the Japanese intelligence agent, protege of the secret societies that we looked at before, along with his mentor and the man who gave him his name, or from whom he took his name, Rash Bihari Bose. And recall also that, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, quoted in that article, Subhash Chandra Bose recruited 90,000 troops to fight not only on behalf of the Japanese, but also on behalf of Hitler in World War II. And recall the Nazi swastika that is part of the Ananda Marga symbol. Now, we're going to read you from a book now, which is going to document connections of Subhash Chandra Bose not only to the Japanese, but also to the Third Reich. We're going to read you now from a book called Spies and Traitors of World War II. That was authored by a man named Kurt Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R, and it's copyrighted in 1945. It's hardcover edition by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. Okay, so this is right after the end of World War II. Of Subhash Chandra Bose, Singer writes as follows in Spies and Traitors of World War II. History has shown that a strong people can afford to be merciful even to its direst enemies. Bose was beyond doubt an incorrigible. In 1934 and 5, he was busy in Berlin, Vienna, and Rome. He met Hitler and Mussolini. He listened carefully and proceeded with the utmost caution, but he followed in the footsteps of his master and wrote his Mein Kampf, which he entitled India's Struggle. He expressed hearty approval of Mussolini's carnage in Ethiopia. He made Indians who volunteered to fight with Emperor Haile Selassie's troops the butt of furious vituperation. As a climax to his European jaunt, he founded the German Indian Society. One of the honorary directors of the new club was none other than Admiral Walter Wilhelm Canaris. Canaris, by the way, was the head of the Abwehr, German military intelligence at that time. That's an interjection. Continuing with the text, Bose was granted a long interview with that gentleman, who expressed his warm friendliness toward Bose's dream of an independent India. In Berlin, Bose altered many of his ideas. He had completely dropped his pro-Russian feelings. Now he became race-conscious. A stately figure in his oriental robes, he went on conducted tours through Berlin. His guide was an attractive maiden of the Hitler Youth named Ingeborg. She showed him the later bombed-out Pergamon Museum, the Staatsoper, the Potsdam Drive. They conversed on the Nazi theory of the superiority of the Aryan race. India, after all, was the cradle of the Aryan race. Bose was well pleased with this idea. India rightly belonged to the Aryan Axis group of nations. It was a new slogan and would speed the struggle for freedom. Of course, the Nordic maiden who introduced him to the idea had received instructions from Canaris on the topics on which to touch. But that scarcely mattered. The Nazis put him on the air. Bose addressed the Orient from radio stations in Zeissen and Königswusterhausen. He roundly condemned Great Britain and announced the formation of the Aryan Axis. He extended friendship to Japan. And so again, we have connections here between Subhas Chandra Bose with Hitler and Mussolini with the Abwehr, all of this before World War II. He's conducting propaganda broadcasts now on behalf of the Third Reich. Recall the Ananda Marga symbol with the rising sun of Japan and the Nazi swastika.
Going on, then in 1939, the war started. Bose promptly made a journey to Berlin, where he met Goebbels and the Grand Mufti again. We'll talk about the Grand Mufti some more in a moment. His next steps were dictated by the Canaris office. He was to fight against British control in India and against the influence of Gandhi. You remember, of course, the reference earlier in the broadcast to their opposition to principles of nonviolence. And, of course, Gandhi was the leading advocate of nonviolence in the Indian struggle for independence.
Worth noting that initially Subhas Chandra Bose was an ally and follower of Gandhi's, but he broke with Gandhi specifically over the question of violence.
Gandhi, the great prophet, emphasized that he had no grievances against the British people, but only against their government. He ardently opposed Japan's designs on India and warned Japan that she was not to think of profiting from a British defeat. But Bose harangued his followers in another vein. Quote, "The Axis will give us independence. Let us join with Japan in chasing the British out of India." In 1943, Bose met dictator Hideki Tojo in Tokyo. A Japanese submarine then brought him to the site of Britain's most humiliating defeat, Singapore. Bose recruited his army, raised the flag of Free India. He concluded alliances with other Quislings in Thailand and Burma. On to Delhi was still his slogan. He referred to himself as the savior of India. Quote, "I, your leader, have millions of pounds of rice ready to be shipped to famine-stricken India, but the British, our implacable and pitiless enemies, have stopped the shipment. They would rather let you starve than accept the succor which is contributed by our friends and allies in Japan." Bose spoke long and loud. He circulated incendiary pamphlets, but all in vain. Traitors are despised by their fellow countrymen. Gandhi earnestly warned against his hypocrisy, and Gandhi's warning was heeded. In Bose's person, the Japanese and German secret services were given the cold shoulder. And there's a footnote that mentions Bose died suddenly in 1945 and never saw the end of the war. This is significant for a variety of reasons. Most significant, the fact that he shared lodgings with Sarkar, and that he obviously was still in the flush of his fascist period when he was in contact with Sarkar, since he never got a chance to be rehabilitated, as so many of our other fascist friends seem to be.
Well, again, the point can't be stressed too strongly that Bose was an Axis intelligence agent when Sarkar was living with him. Ask yourself whether an intelligence agent would have somebody living with him and presumably having access to his activities, whom he either didn't trust, or ask if he would even have a neutral person living with him. So again, when Sarkar is living with Subhas Chandra Bose, Bose is fraternizing and working on behalf of the likes of Hitler, Goebbels, and so forth. And also, it's worth noting, I think, that the Nazis were very skillful in utilizing nationalist sentiments, in particular nationalists, many of them quite sincere, at least to begin with, in many of the areas of the various empires that existed at that time, Britain in particular. There's a reference here to a fellow named the Grand Mufti. That fellow's name is Haj Amin al-Husseini. He was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem and the spiritual leader of all Palestinian Muslims. He also was a major in the SS, and we've taken a look at connections between some of his followers and the U.S. intelligence apparatus, and specifically the involvement of the son of one of his top followers in the 1972 Olympics massacre in Munich, Germany. So, again, we have these threads which are continuous to this day. Now, I think it's also worth taking note of that Indira Gandhi, first let me take note of the fact that you listen to KFJC Los Altos Hills, but also that Mahatma Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi, was very, very much opposed to Subhas Chandra Bose, because we're going to hear some different statements to that effect made by some of the Ananda Marga people. But recall the Hitler Association, the Japanese Association, and as we saw with the Moonies, that we have links to the Japanese Patriotic Societies. Okay, and again, as we speculated conceivably with the Moonies, ask yourself whether or not one could consider the Ananda Marga group to be a patriotic society. Recall also Ananda Marga threats against the now deceased Indira Gandhi and Pope John Paul II, who escaped an assassination attempt on the behalf of Nazis and Western intelligence people.
Okay, we're going to take a short break while we set up for the tape segment of the show that we promised. So since we are running quite long tonight, not going to take up any further time, just a short musical break while we set that self-same tape up, and we'll be back in just a matter of moments. As Dave mentioned, you are listening to... ...as we go into the final segment of tonight's Radio Free America, and... fade Dr. John and his gilded splinters that he's walking on into the background... Okay, we're now going to go, we're going to play a segment of a One Step Beyond broadcast that was originally aired August 15th, 1982, that self-same Sunday when that article came out. We read that article on the show that night, and again, since it was focused on a group with local connections, we got some rather interesting responses, and you're going to hear those. Once again, this is a tape originally from August 15th of 1982, and I'm told, I haven't listened to this since we broadcast it, Dave's already monitored, and he tells me that I sound pretty hoarse on the tape, so we'll find out. If I'm not my normal dulcet-toned, silver-throated self, you'll just have to bear with me. Anything else you want to throw in?
Well, just that when we read this particular article on One Step Beyond, it was not previously announced in any way, and yet a lot of the Ananda Marga people were right on hand to respond after their fashion. And basically, this will sort of serve to give you Ananda Marga's viewpoint. Many of the Ananda Marga people did indeed call up One Step Beyond and disputed what the article in the Mercury News had to say. We'll now give you a chance to hear how the Ananda Marga people responded, and keep in mind the information that we read you about the connections of Bose to the Japanese Patriotic Societies and the Third Reich Intelligence and his efforts on behalf of the Axis, because that is one of the central points in dispute here. Play about half a side here and a little bit on the other side, and it'll give you a chance to hear what these people had to say and how they sound.
And by the way, I don't know if you just mentioned it, but we did mention several of the other things that we talked about tonight. So this article wasn't given out just as a, in it... by itself, but we added some of this historical context with it, which is part of what the people were responding to. Okay, once again, this is an old One Step Beyond broadcast from August of 1982, and when it's done, we'll be back for a little more reading and then hopefully some phones. Good evening, Palo Alto, and welcome to KFJC.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is R.M. Kirit speaking. I'm listening to a radio station, as well as we had an interview with Channel 11 today.
Uh-huh.
And the reporter came over after reading the news in San Jose Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member, active member of Ananda Marga.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to your reputation of the San Jose Mercury coverage.
Uh-huh.
And there are many, many things that we discussed with the Channel 11 reporters today. And, primarily the thing is that the coverage is so out of proportionally... terribly out of, you may say, place that we have pretty much a decline, for example, to Channel 11 when they came to discuss that matter at any length.
Okay, now wait. Now you're going to have to roll back up here again. What you're saying is you think that the article was so slanted to begin with that you don't want to discuss it?
It was so out of proportion when they asked what was your feeling about it. I said that... it is so out of so slanted,
mm-hmm.
that I do not need to. I should say rather, I don't feel like I have to say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I am calling to ask you if you have any particular question about it, about this coverage, and, you know...
Sure, I certainly do. First of all, I would ask you, Kirit, how long have you been involved with Ananda Marga?
About 5 to 6 years.
5 to 6 years. Okay, now one of the themes that was running through this article and was mentioned a couple times, including, I believe, one quote attributed to a gentleman in the State Department whose son was apparently a cult member, was that he felt that a lot of people who were rank-and-file members were not aware, perhaps, of the violent tendencies of the cult. Do you think that could be possible? Not holding you in any way responsible for anything, but is that possible that it could be true that there are aspects to the cult that are not being seen here in the United States?
That may be true, yes. But the point of the whole this regarding violence, I would like to say only this thing, and that is that if such an activity has occurred, then organization or the philosophy of Anand Marga or ideology of Anand Marga has not been in support of any of such violent activity. Basic premise of our programs presumes absolute adherence to non-violence and not harming any individuals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But then again, they had a quote attributed to Sarkar, am I pronouncing his name correctly?
Yeah.
That said that that non-violence is not a solution, though.
Non-violence is not a solution in the sense that every time you take a breath, you are killing hundreds of germs, and everything that you do, every movement, if you try to call it non-violence, it is really, not there.
Mm-hmm.
Non-violence is non-violence means not harming anyone through mind, action, or your words.
True. But now I think this is largely a semantic difference. I think that what they're talking about and what the question that I'm asking about is the difference between being willing to physically work your will on other people or not. Okay, in a way other than merely passive resistance, but to actually...
In Ananda Marga, there is never any forcible presentation of any ideas on anybody. In Ananda Marga, everybody is free to choose what they think, what they believe, and rationally discuss and present their own views. Ananda Marga does not impose its idea on its members, nor do they require anything from their members to participate in any activity as such. Ananda Marga membership does not require them to participate in any way, does not require them to believe in any way, does not require that they follow certain items, certain practices any way. Everybody is absolutely free to take whatever aspect of the programs that they like.
Mm-hmm.
As such, we have many programs, many activities with which we deal, education, relief, and many other things that we work with. Many people interested in whatever part, they are free to choose and free to do as they wish.
Okay. Three quick questions, and you can answer all or any of them you want. The first one would be, and let me just run through the questions, then you can pick them out as you go. The first question would be, why then are you receiving this kind of negative coverage? And I'll just give you two right now. Why are you receiving this kind of negative coverage? And second of all, the article claims there's a great deal of antipathy between Ananda Marga and perhaps the Indian Communist Party and communism in general. And why would that be, and what is filtered down to you as, I guess, a rank-and-file member about communism or political lifestyles? So,
Ananda Marga has Ananda Marga has been in difference with communism for a long, long time because we do not believe in communism. Communism, we do not believe in regimentation of communism. Ananda Marga does not believe in regimenting ideas on anybody as that article claimed. As I told you, Ananda Marga is striving for personal freedom of thought and free expression, speech, all such things. In communist world, it is an absolute disaster, and Ananda Marga has been in quite contradiction with communist government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now why do you think that it's literally a communist plot, or why do you think that Ananda Marga is receiving this negative publicity, or if these things, as you seem to be saying, if these claims are unfounded as far as violence, or at least as far as any institutionalized violence? Okay.
Now, in any organization, any programs, what you have to judge when you talk about Ananda Marga is violent, or is this article?
I understand the difference between individual acts of violence and an institutionalized violence. Okay.
Our formal sources have already given a thought, given a view on that, that is that if such members have done such act, that is not an approval, nor is it in line with the thoughts of the organization. Not only that, in my knowledge, such people have been removed from the organization who had, you know, participated in such act.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I say that Anunnaki has no connection with violence. That would be similar thing as saying that, you know, blaming Christianity for act of Church of Guyana.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there may be more connection there than you think. Okay, another question that I was trying to get back to, which is then why are you receiving this kind of publicity? If, as you say, Ananda Marga is essentially a helpful public service-oriented organization with a couple of bad apples, is it...
Primarily, we've had political differences with the government of India from the very beginning because of the general alliance of Indian government with the Soviet Union. Politically speaking, they were always, Indian government has a standing history of alliance with the political, with the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at many places in India where we are suffering injustice, especially in the communist states of India such as Bengal, they are claiming that we are CIA agents, or rather we are the agents of so-called capitalist world, or therefore... You know, they are doing all this harm to us.
Mm-hmm.
So because of our standing differences with the government, because of our standing position about our disapproval of corrupt governments, etc., and our own philosophy, which is in difference with communism, they have repeatedly tried to destroy our organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had a very significant testimony from a very famous international humanist organization such as International League of Human Rights. All sorts of organizations have examined us, our reports when the trials, etc., were going on against our organization, and they have written a very extensive report in our favor, providing the truth involved.
Okay.
During the emergency days of India, you know, a lot of these activities were carried out during the emergency days of India,
uh-huh.
and the truth never came out of India. Till this day, truth hasn't come out that our guru was in jail for more than 2 years without charges, formal charges, and he was arrested in December of 71, and not until 1976 that his trial was over, and he was he was given life imprisonment by Sessions Court, which, according to the famous lawyers of England, as well as British International League of Human Rights representative, a Canadian lawyer, went to India and clearly stated that this thing is nothing but a big farce.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The emergency was over in 1978 when the High Court, we took the case to the High Court, and the High Court gave a big judgment in our favor.
Okay.
So the whole thing is nothing but a political mess.
Two last questions, okay, and then I'll let you go. One of them is, Ananda Marga obviously politically aligns itself to the extent of being anti-communist or anti-Indian communism at the very least. How does Ananda Marga stand on what the United States is currently trying to paint as authoritarian governments? For instance, the government of Spain of, you know, 15, 20 years ago, current governments of a lot of Central American countries, the right-wing governments.
Ananda Marga does not support communism, nor does it clearly support capitalism. We don't have to support, nor do we have to criticize any particular government of the world. We have our own philosophy, we have our own ideology, and we feel that the progressive-minded people of the world will understand it, and they will accept it through their intellectual understanding of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question, which is, obviously if you're claiming 3 million members worldwide, whatever the figure is, whether it's 400,000 or 3 million, it's a fairly large organization with a lot of missions and centers of one kind. Where does Ananda Marga get its money?
Primarily from people like myself who believe in the programs, believe in the activities, and are committed to service to humanity. A large portion of my particular income, as well as some of my friends, as I know, are supporting Ananda Marga. Ananda Marga is not supported by any few rich individuals, nor corporations, nor direct help or direct help from governments for its program or any of this sort. Ananda Marga is primarily supported by the voluntary donations from most of the members.
All righty. Well, fine. Thank you for calling, and thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you.
Have a nice night. All right, back to the telephones, 941-2500, if you would like to compare notes with Kirich, the gentleman who just called, who is a Margi, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, or if you have some other things to offer, or even if you want to change the subject, it's up to you, all right? Okay, good enough. Good evening, San Jose, and welcome to One Step Beyond.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, just fine. Who's this?
My name is Jerry Caffa.
Hi, Jerry. Go right ahead.
I received a couple calls from friends today saying, "Hi, Jerry, you little old terrorist, you." Kept it a big secret all these years.
Oh, yeah? Are you a member?
I was somewhat amazed when I opened the newspaper this morning.
I take it, then, that you are is it Margi? Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I have been, of course, you know, a United States citizen in Ananda Marga for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been to India. I've had the teachers in my home many, many times, and I was very much surprised at the slant that the article had given, simply because in all of these years, the emphasis has been on self-improvement, you know, through the yogic practices,
uh-huh,
in addition to helping other people, you know, through service to the humanity in whichever way you're capable and can do this. And the whole picture presented was somewhat strange, I found.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I would have to ask you the same question that I asked Kirit, who was the last caller, which was, basically, you can say certainly that any organization does not preach a certain thing, but you could say that, you know, Catholicism during the 1400s preached love and fellowship with your brothers and sisters, et cetera, at the same time they were stringing people out on the racks and burning them with hot irons. Is it possible that there is something in this organization at some level that does not concern the average person who's following some of the
spiritual
precepts?
No, I really don't think so. I have been to India. I have seen the top. I mean, I've been right up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these are extremely